Go to TMA Electric in Port Huron for all your electrical needs. From service upgrades to LED lighting to a full system check and oil change for your generator, along with preventative maintenance. Call 810-266-1450 or stop by. They're at 2514 Chestnut in Port Huron.
Finally, Friday morning, 7:40. Finally, 2 weeks until the end of 2020, and we look forward to 2021. Joining us right now to look back on this year and look ahead at the coming year is Port Huron City Manager James Fried. Good morning, James. How are you?
Good morning, Paul. How are you?
I'm all right. Quite a year this has been. As you look back on it, what are some of the things that you'll remember most about 2020?
I think it's just an unforgettable year. And just how much our community went through. We once again realized that every job is essential, that every person in our community is essential. And we learned to be more resilient as a people, as an organization, as a community. And I think we're not through it yet, but we've learned a tremendous amount about ourselves, about our community.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. One of the hopeful signs is seeing the vaccine arrive at McLaren Port Huron Hospital. Last night, healthcare workers obviously among the first to get vaccinated. Are there plans for city administration, council, mayor to receive the vaccine?
So we will be one of the last in lines, and that's appropriate. I'm young and healthy. I'm not an essential first-line worker. But our police officers and our firefighters are making plans to be vaccinated first.
Okay. Yeah, that's important, isn't it?
Yeah, we want to take the most vulnerable and make sure that they're at the head of the, at the front of the line.
We found out this week that the Blue Water Bridge Plaza expansion is going to move forward. They've secured the funding for that. How big is that for this community?
Well, I think it's allegedly moving forward. They haven't secured the funding. They've only secured $25 million for it. They're putting together a bonding plan to borrow another $285 million. I think that'll be a question for the state is if we need a plaza that size and scope at that cost. The Gordie Howe Bridge is coming online. Bridge traffic is down. So I think MDOT has a lot of explaining to do to the community and to the state to justify that kind of borrowing.
It's a huge project. It's one that you know, they wanted to do 10 years ago and still say they want to get done. What do you think the likelihood is that they'll actually get that project off the ground?
I think to some variation, an upgrade to the plaza will happen. The question is the size and scope and need.
Yeah.
So in the last 10 years, bridge traffic is down. And in the next 10 years, you're going to have the Gordie Howe Bridge up. So there's a lot of question marks out there that MDOT's going to have to answer.
Yeah.
And they're going to have to answer it in a transparent way.
Speaking of the bridge, obviously, you know, most of us have not been able to cross the Blue Water Bridge for most of this year, and it will perhaps be late into, you know, 21 before it reopens for the most part. Obviously, Canadian officials are not in a big hurry to let Americans in. How important is that border to Port Huron? I mean, it's been, you know, months since we've seen our Canadian friends over here at restaurants and in stores. It's got to affect the economy here.
It's critically important. As most people know, St. Clair County alone does more than $300 million a year in trade with our Canadian partners. That means $300 million is spent in the city, in the county of St. Clair from Canadian residents. So it's critically important. Our small businesses, including our big box stores, you know, Walmart, Meijer, Menards, Lowe's, they all depend on Canadian traffic. But I think in the long term, we need to look at, is this a new trend? Will the Canadians just kind of forget about us? I think we're going to make a huge initiative when this opens back up to invite our Canadian friends and partners back over and to really engage them in an earnest way to make sure that they don't just take us off their map for their next trip.
As we look ahead to,
be intentional.
Yeah, you're right. As we look ahead to 2021, a lot of really interesting projects in the works, including the Wrigley Center downtown. What are you intrigued by? What are you looking forward to in the coming year?
We have a lot of, you know, multi-million dollar projects coming, keynote economic drivers like the Wrigley Center, and that's important. But what really excites me is the amount of building permits we're seeing for homes in some of our core neighborhoods. A lot of reinvestments and revitalization of some of our core neighborhoods. So I think the future of economic growth and economic sustainability is going to be investment in our neighborhoods.
Yeah, that's certainly important. As we have a lot of aging neighborhoods, one of the struggles over the years has been large number of rental units, and is there anything that we can do to sort of balance that out a little bit? And to, I know that's been something that the city has addressed over the last year or so.
Well, I think you look at other communities. I think this idea that rentals are bad is necessarily a false dichotomy. We're looking at quality housing, safe housing, and housing availability. Whether it's a rental, whether it's homeowners, whether it's condos, single family homes, apartments. We need an all-of-the-above strategy. Our focus is on, do we have quality homes, quality rentals, and quality investment, the investments being made into those. So I'm not sure the idea that we've adopted that rentals are bad. I'm not necessarily in agreement with that. The question is, do we have a robust inspection program? Can we guarantee that they're safe and good housing available to our residents? And that's what we're focused on.
Chuck LaPorte here, and City Manager James Freed. One of the biggest challenges this year had to have been putting together a budget for the coming year with so many question marks stemming from our ongoing battle against COVID.
Yeah, so we didn't wait to see what the fallout was. We took early action to limit expenditures. So we deferred costs. We didn't spend money. We furloughed workers who were laid off. Our budget is greatly under budget right now because we tightened our belt early. We just don't know what the full impact is going to be of this in a year to 2 years. So the time to save is now. It's not to wait till we figure out the full scope, because you can't go back and change history and said, oh, I wish we shoulda, coulda, woulda tightened our belt back then. So we've really reined in spending. We've cut operating costs. We're probably down $400,000 or $500,000 in expenditures. But we're also up about $600,000 in grant funding. So we're in a good position right now. We're feeling confident.
What other challenges has this year presented for the city?
Well, just, same with every organization. We had to work from home. We had to do a lot of remote work, deploying new technologies, just realizing what we need to invest in as an operation to make our operations more resilient, whether it's a pandemic, a power outage, a snowstorm. What's it take to ensure government can continue living core services, police and fire, under any circumstance?
And it would seem that you've met that challenge, right?
Our first responders, our police officers, our firefighters have done a remarkable job. When this first started out, you had them responding to COVID calls. They'd have to go home and sleep in their basement. Some guys slept in their garage because they didn't want to expose their families. There's a lot of personal sacrifices our first responders have made to making sure that police, fire, services were consistently delivered in a professional and high level. And I think you have the silent heroes among our community, whether it's healthcare workers, whether it's grocery store workers, police officers, firefighters, restaurant workers, the guys washing the dishes in the restaurants. These people are essential. And they are the backbone of our community. And if 2020 has taught us anything, it's that every single person in our community, no matter where you work and what you do, you are a key part of the fabric of this community.
Yeah, we've really kind of reexamined how we do what we do, where we do it, when we do it. We talked a little bit about the development downtown and other development projects, but there are a lot of established businesses that are really having a hard time. Are we going to see, do you think, what's your prediction in terms of, the survivability of some of these businesses moving forward into 2021?
I think for the most part, they should be okay. We don't know the long-term effects. It's amazing how our businesses and entrepreneurs have evolved and innovated. They do what government can never do. They can innovate and on a dime and turn and pivot when they need to. Hopefully there's more assistance coming from the federal government. We received about another $100,000 in CDBG money that we are deploying to the EDA for small business relief and grants. That's the second phase of that. I think they did about $75,000 in grants from the city of Port Huron to city businesses. So we're doing the best we can, but we just don't know. But they are trying hard.
Looking forward to putting an end to 2020 and moving on to 21.
Yeah, you know, I hope we look back on 2020 and a whole new appreciation for our fellow citizens, no matter what job they have. And I think the theme of 2021 should be decency and valuing each other.
Yeah. Yeah, hear, hear. Absolutely. James, always enjoy talking to you. Thanks for your time this morning. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Yeah, you too, Paul. Good hearing from you.
Take care. Bye-bye.